Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay. We could give you a job in our
house. The talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan, thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church, begin on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thank you for sharing some time with us. We love that story. How are you doing, Drewski?
I'm doing good. I got some. Again, I got lots of stuff for you, as always.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to call real quick. There's one up there really interesting. At line one call. I wonder what that is.
All right. You got lots of stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Sam, 45, Glendale.
Hey, guys. For a long time, I felt this way. I make a decent living at a... I can't name the place, but it's an internet company you've heard of, and I have a good position, a good paying job. A lot of people report to me and they look up to me, and I have this continual sense of feeling like a fraud. And I don't know if this is common I don't know if it's just something I'm going through or what, but do you hear this from I don't know, like professionals or whatever, like stupid word we
Sam,
want to sign.
Yes, absolutely. The higher the training, the sort of the more accomplished, there tends to be an association with this syndrome, and it's called the imposter syndrome. And people feel like an imposter, like they really don't know as much as people sort of want them to know, or
that is spot on. Yeah. That is exactly it.
Yeah, you read about it. There's a ton of ink spilled on it. You could spend the next week reading about it, and it's very common. My son experienced it when he graduated from college. He didn't feel like he went to Vanderbilt. He didn't feel like he deserved it. He said at the end he felt like he like pulled one over on everybody. Like I can't believe I'm graduating from this place. And in fact, he fully deserved it. He did great there, but he still felt like he'd like pulled one over on people by graduating from this great institution. And it's at its core, in my more commonly, it's a sense of not being worth sort of your accomplishments, or not being up to it, or you know, sort of people see you as somehow better than you feel about yourself. There's sort of a incongruity there, or even more so, maybe in the past, you didn't do well in school for a certain period of time, and all of a sudden you excelled, and now you still feel like that kid that was not succeeding back in fourth grade, whatever. Does that make sense?
How do you feel, Drew?
I don't really feel the imposter thing. I've occasionally felt it a little bit here and there. I know what it is. I have an intuition for it, but I don't really feel it because I don't know. I feel like I know what I'm talking. I feel like they should listen to me sometimes. You have that. You feel like people should listen to you most of the time, right?
They should.
Yeah.
I mean, if they'd like to be successful,
yeah.
They should. If they don't, then they
should. But I've had that feeling come over me once in a while, and so I get it. I know what that feels like.
Yeah. Sam?
So yeah, thanks, guys.
It's out there. Yeah. It's probably, I don't know. It's something that a lot of people flirt with, except for me or Drew, ever.
No, I know. Ever. You probably never. I do. I know I've had
I'm not in a field that lends itself to the imposter field.
Right.
If you're building, it doesn't lend itself to imposter, and comedy doesn't really lend itself
I'll tell you where I felt
to the
it.
Imposter.
I felt it when, for some reason, it was right here, when I was learning to sort of dose insulin in patients. And I remember when I was watching a diabetologist do it, I'm like, or IV fluids is another place. I was like, oh, God, I'll never. And then I started doing it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is pathetically easy. Anybody could do this. And then I thought, oh, I'm an imposter. This is just we're pulling something over on people. So it's sort of the ease with which you can do something that actually takes a bit of skill to be able to master that sort of also fosters the feeling.
You feel good about that, Sam?
I think it helps maybe put things into a little perspective, and more, maybe more just knowing that you know, it's not totally uncommon in other
yeah,
people.
Yeah, you're not alone. Whatever. Not alone. What sort of fits your profile? Did you have trouble at one point and still feel like that guy, or you don't feel as worthy of the sort of position you have?
It's kind of weird. I'm not sure if it correlates to puberty or if it correlates to this move that my family did, but sort of prior to this point in time, I was an insanely capable student. I was pushed ahead one grade, and they were supposed to push me ahead another grade or two. My parents intervened because I was not doing well socially at that point. After this, like, we moved or whatever, I all of a sudden just went to this polar opposite thing. I could never focus anymore. My GPA was, coming out of high school, I believe, was 1.1. I was miserable. I tried going to college. I was miserable.
Let me give a little interpretation. So you have all this natural intellectual horsepower. You got depressed. You didn't do well academically. That defined you. And now you've sort of kicked back into your more natural intellectual proclivities, and you still feel like that loser in high school.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, that's what it sounds like, right? You still sound a little depressed, by the way.
Yeah, I fight it all the time.
Yeah.
Are you married with kids?
I'm married, and she came with kids. I work out. Exercise seems to be my best defense against.
Good.
Yeah, exercise is everyone's best defense. And maybe you're dealing with some depression here and a little less of what you're dealing in, a little less of the fraud and a little more depression.
The fraud may be somehow a symptom of the depression.
Oh, everything, back pain and headaches and blah, 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 all seem to be a symptom of the depression. Low energy, whatever you're talking about. He's narcolepsy or sleep or needs more sleep. It's like a lot of roads lead to depression. Speaking of roads leading things, somebody tweeted me. And, Gary, I don't know if you can find it. I just found
the Rogan thing we were talking about yesterday. Oh. I haven't been totally tuned in, but what do you need?
It's all right. I don't need to hear it. So I was saying to you the other day, I said, look, everyone's getting strung out on these pain pills and everything. Like, what happened to that shot of brandy kind of thing? And you're like, I don't know about that. But then
I said that?
Yeah. Right. Well, I think, you'd rather them have a shot of brandy than get strung out on Vicodin.
Absolutely. I'd rather them take pot way more.
Yeah, okay, we get it. You're cool. You're the cool doctor.
Man, I'm cool.
But somebody, I think, sent me an article on alcohol and pain relief.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was serious to you when I said, instead of the doctors, give them handfuls of Vicodin. Yeah. Go like, have a shot of sherry or something before you go to bed.
But they're, the couple things.
Well, there it is. Sorry.
Yeah. They mostly, you have to drink a lot of it.
Yeah,
you have to drink quite a bit.
All right.
That screws up your sleep. Obviously not alcohol's a carcinogen. It's not good for your liver. And it's not something you can really use chronically for pain. If it's for a couple of days.
No, I wasn't thinking chronically. I was thinking these people have their knee replacement surgery. Oh. They get on the Vicodin for 3 or 4 weeks, and and next thing you know, it's on.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is I don't know. How about a little taste of the hair of the dog?
I'm saying what about a little IPA would be good, but how about a little CBD?
Mm.
CBD, that'd be good.
What's a CBD?
Oh, look, Gary's like, yeah, man, that's CBD. You're cool, dude.
What's CBD?
No, that's been helpful for people in my life.
Yeah.
True. Nobody knows what a CBD
is. CBD is a portion of the cannabis plant that you can get in like a vape or an oil, several different ways, but it's a non-psychoactive.
And we don't have it concentrated enough yet in this country to really be what I'm looking for, but we will.
What's it do?
Famously, Nate Diaz, after his second Conor fight, was vaping CBD in front of all the media.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like it helps with inflammation.
It's pain inflammation.
Like,
yeah. Right. It's not going to be quite
get you high.
Not going to be quite the panacea that everyone hopes for, but it's good pain relief.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking about something that people are hoping for.
Oh, yeah?
BespokePost.com. It's a subscription club for guys. That's right. Well, something for the fellas.
Yeah.
Boxes are $45, revolve around the themes like grooming, food, drink, travel, that kind of stuff. Basically, any category a guy would care about.
Wait. So you pick a category? Is it all come mixed in? Or can you get a mixed category?
The boxes, you don't mix the category, but you pick the category.
So it's like travel. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like one of the things that they sent was an awesome duffel bag, like high quality, like a nice piece of luggage. Another one was a dop kit that was full of like male beauty products and stuff. There was an alcohol self-distilling kit that they sent. Like, there's all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
So you have 5 days to review your box, and you can skip any box without penalty. One of their biggest hits is called the Weekender. It's the takeaway bag with the perfect for the road trip and weekends. Again, this is I love all this stuff because it's one of these do it for you things.
Yeah,
and I also like the stuff that shows up every month because you get to do it for you every month, and you get a little reminder every month that you did it for you. It's also good gift stuff.
Yes,
so you can try it out. Check the trythepost.com/Adam. Trythepost.com/Adam. Use the promo code Adam at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's trythepost.com/Adam. Use the promo code Adam at checkout. And ladies, if you're listening, get it for the fella in your life. How about that? All right. So let's see. What is sex time?
Oh, I have a thing to tell you. Susan had eye surgery this week.
Mm.
I've been living out of my house, away from my house for the last 4 days, being a nurse.
Really? What's going
taking
on?
Care of her. She had cataracts and glaucoma.
Wow.
A crowded eye. This guy, Kerry Aseel, had a seal eye, did unbelievable. I'm so jealous of him. I mean, they get all this money, they come in 30 minutes, they restore sight. It's like magicians. It's like, I went in the wrong field of medicine.
Not magician. They're like warlocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not the illusion of sight.
It's
Warlockian.
Right. Warlockian. But I cannot recommend this guy strongly enough. Guy named a CLI. I'm going to go get the I was getting evaluated for LASIK for it. Do you want to do that?
I've done LASIK.
You did?
I did. And it worked for a while, and it sort of works now. I still read better with glasses.
Oh, you have it for the close vision. But I have something. I have a thin cornea. I need to do something called PRK, and it's sort of freaked me out a bit. But then in the meantime, we found her stuff. She has this crowded eye and needs her lens taken out. It was 4 days of intensive recovery and surgery and stuff.
What were you doing? Wet nurse?
Wet nurse.
What were you doing?
She was sucking on my teeth the whole way. I was
yeah, she was.
I was just attending to.
What, was she able to see?
Pretty good. It's just a lot of.
No, like she could have made herself some soup.
No, there's a lot of like, I can't move. I've had too much Versed and I can't move and I'm tired. And a lot of stuff.
So it's such a weird
eye
thing.
Drops every 2 hours.
There's so many people that have that I need help mode. And I so reject that mode.
Me too.
That I don't think I'm ever, I don't care what kind of shape I'm in. It's not even stoic. I just reject it. If you come in and go, you want me to stay behind and make some soup? I'm fine. I would never, ever do that. And thus, I'm the worst person to provide it for other people. Let's see.
I'm pretty good at it.
You're good at it.
Yeah, I think so. I get stir crazy, you know, after 4 days of one surgery and then a recovery and a follow up and a surgeon recovery and a follow up. But magic, man. She's got 20/20 vision now, both close and far. It's crazy.
Really?
It's crazy.
Right.
So anyway,
and how long ago
ASSIL?
How long ago was this not possible? You think?
What she has, she had a certain thing where the lens had to also be correcting the glaucoma. She had what's called a crowded eye.
Mm-hmm.
I bet a few years ago, like 3 to 5 years ago, you would have been in sort of questionable territory or territory where the vision wouldn't have been as good and you've been redoing it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet.
Daryl, 31, Boulder. Daryl?
Yes, sir. How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
So my wife and I are kind of jumped into some issues, and she wants me to leave. We've got two little girls, and I want to do whatever it takes to not have that happen.
What do you mean you jumped in some issues? What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, that's poor choice of words. But, you know, we've been rocky for a while, and it looked like it was coming up. You know, she.
Yeah, Daryl, you're going to have to get. They can't use a bunch of euphemistic vague. What exactly is going on?
Understood. She started working out of town for half the week about 6 months ago. I got out of the military a few years ago and started going to college. So both of those things have been hard on us. Obviously, a little role reversal there. She makes really good money, and I've been kind of the caretaker, and our relationship has kind of suffered. And we had her family, her brother, move in, who also just got out of the military. And that's been like a bone of contention. And, you know, it was up and up. She called me a month ago and said, I talked to my boss today about traveling less, and it looks like that's going to be the case. And when I get home, I'm going to talk to my brother about moving out. And then about 2-3 weeks ago, she just said, we're talking about a cruise that we'd been planning on going on this summer and with my family. And she just said, as I'm driving her home from the airport, picking her up from her work travel, she said, I don't think we're going to be together by the time this cruise hits this summer.
All right, a couple of things. I never get the part where she's out of town or I'm on the road. You know, this thing, especially actors and actresses, it's like, you know, I have one of those jobs where I have to be out of town. Oh, you go out of town, then you come back and you go out to dinner. You miss each other. Like, you know, I'm not... That go out of town part, I never really understood. It was the sort of right up there with, oh, I'm too busy to date. Like, really?
Yeah. You're
too busy to date.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of busy guys out there who find plenty of time for dating, and women as well. So I'm not exactly sure what the travel part means. Except for she may be seeing somebody. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think there's another? I'm trying to think, Drew.
Hmm.
What percentage of time is somebody just, you know, moving on without the presence of another person and without the presence of something catastrophic? Somebody got caught cheating. Somebody's a junkie. You know what I mean?
So when somebody, two people just drift apart, right? When people drift apart, what usually I find is people, the partner that feels it the most is sort of complaining.
Right.
Yes.
When they say, I'm leaving somebody else.
Mm-hmm. So it's complain, and then leave somebody else.
Yeah.
Daryl, what do you think?
She was complaining, and we'd been going to counseling this time a year ago, and Then she just kind of said, I've had enough, like I don't have any more to give. And
what is it exactly that she wants from you?
Well, we both have had a hard time with the role reversal thing. She came back and, you know, I'm in charge of dinner, I'm in charge of cleaning the house, and it just felt like it was, you know, as much as I could do every time she'd come home from being gone for 3 days in Irvine and, you know, something wasn't done or their laundry wasn't done or put away or something. And,
she's like your grandmother.
I'm goddamn telling you, when you swap these things around, when you swap this stuff around, it would never fly. Never. Ever.
Oh, my God.
Ever. It would never fly. Ever.
Explain.
If you took your wife and my wife and our role and her role and their role and you flopped everything around, we would be in the stocks in the middle of town being flogged and to
make sure we did everything perfectly.
We'd be thrown in a well and called a heretic. No, just we'd consider like, what are you doing? You don't get to go to the gym for 4 hours in the middle of the day. You can't go to lunch with your friend. It's a weekday. What's he doing, Drew? What are you doing, Drew? You can't go with your friend out to lunch for not a 4 hour. I eat my lunch at my desk. What are you doing? You'd be considered a pariah. Pariah.
Well, you're proving it here with this case. Right.
Here'd be the first thing. True. Yeah. What do you need a nanny for? You don't have a job. That'd be number one. That'd be number one.
How about, why do you sleep till 9 o'clock?
Well, actually, Annette gets up and takes the kids to school, so I don't get that. Hey, Daryl?
Yeah, 31? I get up and take the girls to school, and you know, then I go to engineering school. I'm going to a real college. Like, I'm doing stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I get it. Look, I went through this, too, when I was on the road, and there's something about traveling and being on the road and that kind of stuff, and you just walk through the door, and everyone's in their bathrobe on top of the bed, and it's noon, and you're pissed. Like, you're just pissed. You're like, I left Philadelphia at 4 a.m. Like, I'm pissed. And the road, coming off the road, coming back, she comes, well, I don't care if you took a pressure washer to the entire outside of the house, clean the gutters. I don't care if you did anything. If she comes walking through the door and you're just sitting on the sofa watching the news, I guarantee she's pissed. Mm-hmm. Right then and there. Time the pressure washer for when she's coming home. But, you know, I don't believe this kind of reversal works, because I think any woman that's working full-time, traveling, feeling a little bit ragged, she comes home, there's nothing you can do that's going to, no matter what you do, there's always going to be a load of laundry that's not done. And she's going to go right to it. And you're going to get defensive, and you're going to go, you don't know what I do, I'm gone, what about the stuff you don't see, the stuff you don't talk about, you don't notice when X, Y, and Z. And she's going to notice that there's no dinner waiting, and that's what she will notice. So, Daryl, you guys have been through therapy.
Yeah, we've been together 10, 11 years, and, you know, I'm literally packing my bags right now. Like, she's coming home from Irvine tonight, and I'm going to stay with a friend. Like, but I don't want to do this. I want to do anything I can to bring my stuff back.
How old are the
kids?
How old are they?
Almost 3 and 5.
Yeah, they you know, especially at 5, you start to notice these things.
Yeah, and you guys have been in the therapist's office.
We were last year, but she doesn't want to do it again, and I'm going by myself right now to try anything.
Ask the therapist.
Get any advice?
Ask the therapist if he or she thinks that there's somebody else. It just feels like that.
You think there might be another human here?
It felt like it for a while, but I don't really think that's the case anymore. You know, some of her family's with me, most of her family's with her. She's got a big family, and that means a lot. But you know, her dad kind of went through this with mom too, kind of deal.
Mom picked up
and left.
Rats.
They had 7 kids together, and she just left one night, and like cops crossed state lines were out looking for her and everything, and they were gone for weeks, and finally found her, and then she went to live with mom from 8 to 18 about.
And what was the deal with mom? Why'd she take off?
Because she was traumatized, I think, by a brother when she was young, and she just has bad coping mechanisms and just hops from guy to guy to guy. She's on marriage number 4, and she doesn't leave one until the other one's ready to, got a room ready for her, you know?
So mom also cheated.
Ooh. Well, not necessarily also, but here's the thing. When you got a mama that can just pick up and leave 7 kids, you have a deeply disturbed person.
Yeah.
Deeply.
Yeah.
Deeply. Yeah. You know, whatever Lynette and I may quarrel about, she's deeply devoted to those 2 kids.
Yeah.
Deeply.
Yeah.
And would never, ever dream of going anywhere without those kids.
Yep.
So this notion of, well, she met somebody else and he lived in another state.
No.
That doesn't work. Now, guys can do it. I don't like them. I don't trust them, but they can. When women do it, something is deeply wrong. And as the offspring of that woman, nature or nurture, that something was deeply wrong with, your wife has something going on in her which is broken.
The residual of that,
which is broken, which is if mama gets up and leaves, there are some serious bonding issues and connection and intimacy issues. And that's why your wife can just sort of say, I'm not going to be around for the Love Boat in July. You know?
Yeah. flip the switch.
Yeah,
like it's. I don't. You know, it's funny. I don't even know if the switch exists. Mm.
If she has attachments, yeah, she may not.
Yeah,
but then again, is it possible that mom was sort of healthy for a while, and then got manicky and bipolar or substance or something? You know,
and the kids. I really think on behalf of the kids, you try the therapist one more time, and I would really delve into her mom and her ability just to pick up and leave. That is a major situation there. And I come from a little of that. I can tell you that right now. And I don't know when it changes or what it affects. But I will tell you something that puts me in a better mood. True Car. True Car. Buy new or buy used. True Car, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles. From over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So, you want a new car? Drew, I think I saw your car, but it was like the X7 or something, even higher up than the RS.
What?
It had a cool badge on it.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, the Audi, man. Yeah. Well, the point is, you're getting an Audi, you get an, Lynette had an A7.
Yeah.
You got the RS.
Yeah.
And then there's another one in between.
It's there's an S. Yeah, it's an S7.
You got to get, the point is.
Must be an XS now.
They started, you know, God, 60 and change, and they go up a $150, $160 now. So make sure it's apples to apples. That's what I'm saying. Make sure you're getting the same car. You see what others paid for the exact same car you want. Get the fair price. Get it locked in. Go to your certified dealer. Pick up your car. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. So when you're ready to buy new, ready to buy used, visit True Car. All right. Hey, Drew.
Yes?
I got this check stub I dug. I was cleaning all the stuff out of my other warehouse.
Yeah.
I came across my check stub from Warner Brothers Animation from 1992. Yeah. And I was looking at the gross pays, $2,400 for a script I wrote.
So 96 hours. What's that all about?
I think they just assign some random hourly rate or something. And when they get their assigned hourly rate, like, you know, $27 an hour, whatever they pay for their however you get to $2,400, they reverse engineer the math and make it work. I don't know, they've decided this how long it takes to write a script, and then there's a bunch of deductions, but I'm not sure how much is deducted because I can't.
Total was $717.99. $717.99 was your total deductions.
Or my total deductions. Yeah. Right. Out of my 24, so I got to walk with 1682. Yeah, it sucks when you're poor. Because you make $2,400 and you're like, ooh, I got $2,400. And it's like, you don't have near 2,000, son.
And to be fair, I don't see any state deductions here. So there'll be some state tax. Some reason state and county wasn't removed.
Yeah. All right. Probably still
on. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. You did. You paid $134 in state tax. There it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was big money for me back in the day. That 24, well, now 1600 and change. That was big cash for the Ace Man. That was like one of my first, real paying comedy gig. Mm. I also had to back out a few $100 to my buddy Robbie Levine, who typed everything. I couldn't type. I didn't have a computer or typewriter. How could I turn in a script? You know, so I had to pay this friend of mine who lived down the street.
92, nobody had a computer.
Yeah. There were a couple of guys that had, but he may have had like an early Mac or something, but you know, but tractor feed printer, I don't know. But the point is he had to type it and I had to pay him his VIG too. I probably got out of there with $1,500, but that was big bucks, man.
I'm just thinking, you know, we have to get these, you know, you have to get these new federal IDs.
Oh, yeah.
And in order to get one, it's for flying, essentially, if you don't want to fly with your passport.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have, use this. You have to have like a pay stub with an address and stuff. But I guess this address wouldn't work.
Yeah, so. It's an apartment in Santa Monica. Yeah. Why not, man?
You got an apartment in Santa Monica?
Well, I got an apartment in Santa Monica because it was like this. It's kind of this funny, I don't know, it's so funny when you're poor how you're not exactly criminal, but nothing exactly done correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and my buddy Mark Sweeney, who is the director over at Acme Theater, lived there with, and at some point, him and his girlfriend, whatever, they bought a house on like the West Side. And it's like, God, Sweeney's got that sweet apartment in Santa Monica. It was rent control, you know?
Yeah.
And it was the sort of thing where it's like, I moved in when he moved out, but we didn't really officially tell anybody. And I mean, we kind of told, like, the landlord had the helper guy. And it was right. Sort of like, oh, I'm here, you know, for Mark, you know, for now. So
watching the dog, feeding the cat.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm writing the checks now, but, you know, for now, for here. You know, I'm here. And he'd be like,
I moved in, I'm just here.
So, wait a minute. We don't have any paperwork or anything. Like, oh, no. I'll send the checks, and then Mark's not here right now, and then I'll just do the checks.
I'll talk to him about it.
I'll be here with the checks.
That's fine.
You know, for now. Right, just for now, you know. Okay, please ask. Everyone is like, oh, my whole life is like, please just don't ask any more questions. Please, no more questions.
Don't notice I exist.
I'll just be here for now. I'll give you checks. And don't worry, I'll give you the check. It'll be the same check. It's a good check. That was it. So the guy was kind of like, you know, you're it reminds me, it's funny. The best gig I ever had at the time was the same guy, Robbie Levine, was working as a like second AD, and he did the movie Judgment Night.
Ooh.
And he got me a gig doing stand-in for one of the bad guys.
I remember you told me this. And did we run across them again later or something? There was something about that story.
I probably told Cuba Gooding Jr. or I don't know, whoever's in it. But I was one of the bad guy stand-ins.
Yeah.
And Mark was like the AD. Robbie was like the AD. So he got me the job doing it. And wasn't Peter Green, wasn't there. It was like Michael, I got to go back up there. It was like Michael Weisman. Yeah, was the guy. Now, Michael Weisman at the time had long hair. He was quite a bit shorter than me, and he really looked nothing. He looked nothing. Uh-huh. He looked nothing. I mean, he had long hair and was, you know, 5'11 or something with long hair. I mean, he looked nothing like me. And I just, like, and Robbie was like the stand-ins for all the other guys, like Dennis Leary. The guy who stood in for Dennis Leary could have been Dennis Leary. Like, he looked exactly like Dennis Leary. And all the other guys looked exactly, we'd wear the same wardrobe and everything. We had to be the same height, the same coloring, the same hair and stuff, so they could light you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it was like, and Robbie's like, I got your job standing in for that one guy over there. And I'm like, I don't look anything like that guy. It's like, just don't. And it was the very first day on set, but it was like $100 a day and all the food you wanted. And you could lay around all day. I couldn't believe it. It's like free food, lay around, $100 a day. And if your guy didn't get killed, it took you a long time to get thrown off. So the very first time, the lighting director, like I think it was like the DP or something. So like, all right, stand-ins in, everybody in. All right, here we go. Let's set this up. We're like standing in a big intersection in LA, and they're like trying to light it. And he's like, okay, we got Leary. All right, so Leary, your character, you're over here. Okay, turn this way, and then you're Cuba Gooding Jr. And then he looked at my character, and he was went like, what the? And then he was like, all right, Dennis, go stand up. But he gave a look like, what the fuck? And then he was just kind of went, if you can get past the what the fuck. But from that point on, I was just a guy standing who didn't look anything like him. And the other guys comically looked exactly like the other guys. But from that point on, it didn't matter. If you can get through that one little window where the guy is at your apartment and he's going, where's Sweeney? And I'm like, he's moved on, but here we are. If you can get past that little moment where the guy goes, yeah, okay. Yeah, and he just leaves. Now, from that point on, you're just that dude.
Keep moving.
You got to get past that little window where the guy could make a move. See what I'm saying, Drew?
I see what you're saying. I'm preoccupied with this Instagram post with Big Bad Drew. Is there music on this Instagram post? No? Okay. You got to weave the music. You've seen this, Gary? Okay. All right,
you got Simply Safe.
I do have Simply Safe.
Take care of
it. Protecting your home should be easy, but in the past, it certainly was not. installation appointments, drilling holes, locked into contracts. Simply Safe is comprehensive, professionally monitored home security online. And Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I, simply with two I's, safe. SimplySafe.com. Each system is a security arsenal, entry and motion sensors, high-def security camera, everything you need to keep your family safe. CNET called it comprehensive, easy-to-use protection, and they named it Editor's Choice for Home Security in 2014. Now, I know I said SimplySafe.com, but you can get 10% off right now if you go to SimplySafeAdam.com. That is SimplySafeAdam.com. And you get these systems. You can be secured, what, within a week? Are you just like you
it just shows up at your house. Yeah. You stick it all up and get it up and running in 20 minutes.
The batteries last for years. If you move, you can take it with you. Mm-hmm. This is the future of home security. And it's here today. Speaking of today, you can be protected by the end of the week and get 10% right now off if you go to SimplySafeAdam.com and order your Simply Safe system. That is Simply Safe. Adam.com.
Big bedroom.
There you go. Who is this guy again?
I don't know.
But no, I mean, you brought the song up. I didn't realize he was even listening. Somebody, oh my God.
Yeah, that was the one with Big Bad Drew.
Yes,
not
yes,
Big Bad
yes.
John.
Big Bad John. It sounds like the Big Bad John.
No, Drew, you got a weird ear.
I was just hearing Big Bad John.
No, I know one. Half a sonic syllable into it, and I know exactly.
Where's the Big Bad John?
My only gift is knowing sonically.
Yeah.
We just had Billy Vera in here from Billy and the Beaters. He's an acclaimed songwriter.
Yeah.
He said two words. I said, are you the voice of AMPM? Oh. And he said, yeah. And I was like, that's all I could hear. But he doesn't look the part. He doesn't seem the part. There's like nothing in the part. And I don't even see that many AMPM commercials, but it's Tungus. Tungus. He's the voice.
The voice of Tungus? Or the
voice of AMPM.
Oh, my God.
I have a bizarre sonic thing where, you know, remember you'd get those cassettes at the car wash and they'd go, all the greatest Motown hits done by the original artist. Yeah. Well, yeah, they were done by the original artist, but they did not have the original composition because that's copywritten. So what they would do is get Martha from and her Vandellas to come back and do a version. If I heard a tenth of a second of that song, I was like, not the same version. Like, I was bumped, put off, and knew it immediately. And once in a while, people would go like, no, it's that. Because once in a while, they'd get close. Yeah. They'd go, I'm pretty sure. I'd go, no. That's the only thing I'm good at, really, in life is the sonic part.
Sound discrimination.
Sound discrimination. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Big Bad John.
Yeah. But you used to hear this song a lot, right, when you were a kid.
Yeah. Not like, well, you heard it. When I was a kid. No, I didn't hear it a lot when I was a kid. Here's the other thing,
you're
too.
You're the one that called it up.
I've never owned an album. I didn't have this album. I heard it when other people heard it, when it was on the radio. Yeah. People go like, oh, well, you know all this stuff because you collected all that or you listen. I was like, no, I did not. I never had any albums. I never had any music. Those things cost money. We didn't do that at the Corolla house. I could just hear it. I listened to the radio, and I could tell what the song was just a moment in. I'd be horrible at Jeopardy, but name that tune.
Ooh, look out, world. Beat,
there's a new show coming
Jamie
from
Kennedy. Jamie Foxx, yeah.
Called Can You Beat Shazam? And the question is, can you identify a song faster than the Shazam app can?
Well, I can't do like Bruno Mars songs or something like that. By the way, Bruno Mars sound like Temptation songs, so there's no time that. But if you want to dig, if you want to go 70s or even 80s or something, you want to keep in the genre, I can't do Katy Perry songs, but
I'll fire up Jamie Foxx on the blower and see what we can do.
Get him on the blower. All right. AdamCarolla.com is where you go. Live shows, Irvine, Thursday, June 15th. Dennis Prager. Boy, is that guy got a lot of wisdom. Jesus. And you know what? He's in a good mood about it. I like that.
Wonderful. He's thinking about the world these days.
He's optimistic, but he's very worried about college campuses and what's going on, and makes a very strong and interesting argument, which is he is a liberal, but he's not a leftist. He thinks liberals are good, leftists bad. Mm. You know, he has no problem with Alan Dershowitz, who would vote for Hillary Clinton, but is a liberal, not a leftist. Leftist wants no conversation on college campus. A liberal likes, they want to talk about about climate change, but if you want to get up there and talk about, if Ann Coulter wants to speak her piece, then that's our society.
I heard an interesting, listening to a podcast, and this guy was saying that when people make something sacred, watch out.
Oh.
As soon as something becomes a sacred, you know, sort of topic, then there's no more discourse.
Thursday, June 15th, Dennis Prager up on stage with us in Irvine. Then Levity Live, David Koechner. He's great. That's July 6th. And live shows everywhere. The Bar Crawl's coming up on the 24th of June. Go to Corolla Drinks and blah, blah, blah.
DrDrew.com. Get all that family podcast there. Sign up for DrDrew.com/contact. We'll hear from you there.
No Safe Spaces, me and Prager, by the way, if you want to check that out on iTunes or Amazon. And Corolla.com. Until next time. I'm Corolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. Live music, stand-up comedy, and buttloads of mangria. June 17th in Long Beach at D Piazza's. June 22nd in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company. And June 24th in Seattle, Washington at Showbox Soda Lounge. With special guest comedians and bands in every city featuring Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Plus, comedy from Matt Edgar. Tickets and more information are available online at CorollaDrinks.com. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. In Seattle with Lynette Corolla and Ray Oldhopper. In Long Beach with Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills.
Standing in the backyard, looking for a tree to climb.
June 17th in Long Beach. June 22nd in Fresno. June 24th in Seattle. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour with Loxy and Matt Edgar. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.